Good morning. I'm so thankful that Drew led us in that song because that is a song that is going to help us even get through this sermon and the things that we're going to talk about this morning. Have you ever witnessed someone, you're in line maybe at a fast food restaurant and someone in front of you is screaming at the cashier? Or maybe you've seen a parent at a child's ball game, and they are just blessing out the ref for some call they thought was wrong. Maybe someone has caught or cut you off in traffic, and then instead of waving, they flip you off. Maybe you're waiting to meet someone, and they don't call, they just show up 30 minutes late. Or maybe you're talking with someone, and while you're trying to talk with them, they're looking down at their phone and they're texting someone else. How does it feel when someone is rude to you? Have you ever acted rudely towards someone else? More and more, rudeness is becoming just the acceptable way of doing things and interacting with people. I mean, think about it. Politicians rant and call each other names. Television hosts interrupt and belittle their guests. And many kids today think that you, if you can burn somebody with your words, that's a good social skill to have. But I want to ask the question, does rudeness matter to God? Is it okay for the children of God to be rude? I want us to look at this. I want us to first look at the impact of rudeness. I want to see why is there rudeness, and then how do we overcome this idea of rudeness? So as we think about rudeness, we want to think about, okay, well, what is the impact of this rudeness? And it doesn't look like PowerPoint is going to be working today, so I may have to give some cues in the back. But if you think about rudeness, just defining that, what is the idea of rudeness? Well, rudeness is being deliberately discourteous, impolite, or offensive. If you look at the biblical root of that word, it is without form. To behave in an unseemly, unsuitable, improper, or unbecoming way. Now, we can say rude things. We can do rude things. And as I was studying this week, what I found out was that there's actually a rising part of scientific study that is devoted to rudeness. It's studying and researching rudeness. Now think about that. What are the effects of rudeness? Well, rudeness is contagious, like a cold. I'd almost say it's probably more contagious than the coronavirus. Because when you think about it, think about what you're actually doing. There's a researcher, Trevor Folk, and he said this. He says, when it comes to incivility, there's often a snowballing effect. The more you see rudeness, the more likely you are to perceive it from others, and the more likely you are to be rude yourself towards others. Now think about that. The more you see it, the more we think, oh, well, that's acceptable. And so the more that we think, oh, well, I can do it then. It's that snowball effect. Well, it's also been shown through studies that rudeness can have lasting effects. Studies were shown that they were witnessing people they say, you know, if you go in to your favorite coffee shop in the morning and somebody is just berating the barista in there, you are more likely for that to impact you throughout the day that you see that in the morning, and then you actually are more prone to think of rudeness throughout the day, even looking or seeing it, thinking you see it, in places where there is no rudeness or where there is no criticism, just because we witness it. It affects our judgment and resiliency. There was actually a study that was done of some physicians. And so they had two groups. And what they did is they had one group of physicians, and they were going to do a mock surgery. And they were going to have one doctor sort of Skype in, and that doctor gave them the directions of what they were to do, and then they were going to observe how the surgery went. So the first group came in, and the doctor Skyped in, and he just gave them the basic directions and what they needed to do. But with the second group, the doctor Skyped in, and he was a doctor from a different country, and what he told all the people in this group was how subpar their facilities were, and how that the doctors there were inadequately trained. What the study showed was that second group performed five times less effectively than the first group. They weren't handing each other the right tools, and when the situation was changed and that there was other complications in this mock surgery, they weren't able to handle it because they had been affected by the rudeness. Rudeness has become rewarded in our culture, because we come to believe it is a sign of strength and power, while politeness and humility have become associated with weakness. I want you to think about that for a moment. You say, is that really true? You ever think about your mama jokes? I mean, you know how they are, right? Your mama's so fat, your mama's so ugly, and then and so and so and forth. The jokes go. But think about what's behind that. Because, those were there in my day as I was growing up. And what do? You try to one-up the person who's telling you the joke, right? Now think about what we're doing there, though. We're insulting our mothers. You never hear, your mama is so kind that honey just flows out of her. You don't hear that. But the yo mama joke is the only way you can win it is to get a better insult, more rudeness than the other person. Now maybe we don't do yo mama jokes so much today. Maybe we just do it through social media and social rude memes. But think about that. There's actually a TV show. It's called Drop the Mic. And it's actually celebrities who get together and they rap insults at each other. And the crowd goes wild the more that the insults are more stinging and more hurtful. And that's what our society is calling good TV. That's where we live. One man said it this way. Robert Heinlein, he was a science fiction writer, he said, a dying culture invariably exhibits personal rudeness, bad manners, lack of consideration for others in minor matters. A loss of politeness, of gentle manners, is more significant than a riot. I got to thinking about that for a moment. Loss of manners more significant than a riot? I think he's right. Because you think about a riot is more, it is based off of emotions in the moment. Some group gets excited and they want to go seek justice or do something. Whereas loss of manners is something that happens over a long period of time. And little by little, we whittle away at one another. So let's think about then, why is rudeness happening? I mean, we live in a world that is torn apart by all kinds of hatred and national conflicts, racial strife, religious hostility? And, you know, I sort of wonder, is it wrong to ask, where has common courtesy gone? Should we just accept rudeness as a way of life? I think the real answer is there is rudeness because there is a lack of respect. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, there it says, love is not rude. Now, we're going to come back to this verse in a moment, but I just want you to see what this means there. That the implications of that is that rudeness springs from the absence of love. That as man gets disconnected from the love of God, what happens is that there is no longer respect for God. You see, rudeness is a loss of respect for God. Now, everyone today wants to be respected. I mean, that's how so many people get into arguments and everything. They didn't respect me. Well, what are we saying there? What is respect? Well, it's showing value and honor to others by our words and our actions. We're saying to someone, you are worth something to me. You are valuable to me. And when man devalues, dishonors God. He has disrespected him. He has disregarded him. He no longer loves God. And when we fail to respect God, we lose one of our highest dignities. Sinclair Ferguson said it this way: our highest dignity is that as men and women, we have been made as the image of God, created specifically for loving fellowship with Him and with each other. You see, if we disrespect God, if we devalue God, what that means then is that we're going to devalue each other. The two go hand in hand. We're devaluing that which is in God's image when we are rude to each other. Think about that for just a moment. And what I actually like to do for just a moment is I'd like to talk to the kids. Not just to our teenagers here, but to the middle school, to our elementary, to even those who are, say, in preschool. So kids, put down your pencils. Put down your toys for just a moment. And I want to ask you something. Have you ever done that to your parents? I hope I hear a big, big no from all the kids, right? But what is that girl doing? She is showing disrespect to her parent, to her mom. Her mom is trying to correct her. But do you realize what that is doing? Do you realize that God has created that mother? And He's created that mother in His image to have the qualities that God has. Well, what that little girl is doing is by showing disrespect, by being rude to her mother, she's being rude to God. Now, would any of you kids ever think that you want to be rude to God? No! But that's what we do when we show that kind of an attitude towards our parents or towards adults. And adults, let's face it, we're no better, right? Because rudeness has a focus on self. Because the reality of it is, you are saying, I am more important than you are, so I can act the way that I want to. It's why people cut in lines. You think about it. You're saying, my life is more important, I have more things to do, then I can't wait here, I need to cut in front of you. It's why people yell at cashiers. And if we're getting really nitty-gritty with it, it's why we don't call other people back. Because we say, you know what, my life's more important. I just don't have time for you. And it's focused on self. But God calls us to honor all people. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, there it says, honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. He's telling us that we are to value all people. For no other reason, it's because all people are made in the image of God. And so when I am rude to someone, when I insult someone, I am insulting the very image of God. So here's a question for all of us. Do the people that you live with, the people you work with, the people you serve, the people that you go to and worship God with and encounter on a daily basis, would they say that they feel better or worse after being with you? Or after they have heard from you through an email or a phone call or a text or a tweet or a post, would they say that they would feel better or they would feel worse? Just think about that. Now, how then do we overcome this rudeness? I think it all goes back to that idea of love. Because when we think about it, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, that it says, love is not rude. There's actually, it's J.B. Phillips' translation. He puts it this way. He says, love has good manners. Now, what comes to mind when I say good manners? Is it sitting up straight and having a white tablecloth or a white napkin on your lap and don't put your elbows on the table? Say please and thank you. Or is it something else? Are good manners just a Victorian era thought? Does a millennial Christian have to have good manners today? Well, think about what we're really saying here. That this idea, this concept that is wrapped up in love is really that opposite of rudeness. So that means what we're saying is it is to deliberately be courteous and polite. One man said it this way, good manners are just a way of showing other people that we have respect for them. Now, someone may say, you know, Adam, you are taking this rudeness and this good manners thing too far. You're making too much of it. Maybe I am. But let me ask you this question. What if God were rude? Just think about that. What if God were rude? That he's always making snide and bitter remarks about us. What would worship be like if we thought God had been talking about us behind our backs, putting us down to others? What would prayer be like if we knew that God wasn't even listening to us while we were trying to talk with him, that he was busy talking to Jesus? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, what, you were saying something? Think about that. How would we feel if we thought that we couldn't trust God to tell us the truth, if he was always losing his temper with us? We'd all say, well, that's not much of a God. I don't want to serve that kind of a God. Then why does that give us any right to be rude as well? You see, Christians are not rude. We are called to be different people. We're called to be different from this world. And what that implies there is that we are polite, that we are respectful, we are caring and thoughtful, and well-mannered. not because we follow some social etiquette, but because we follow a biblical etiquette. Or to say it maybe a different way, we follow Jesus, who is not rude. Think about the way the Bible describes Jesus. In Matthew 12, verse 18 beginning, it's quoting there Isaiah 42, and it says, "Behold my servant." And in verse 19 it says, "He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory." Now that doesn't mean that Jesus was never angry. It doesn't mean that people never got under his skin. He was just like you and me. But what it does mean is that he showed them respect, even though they showed him disrespect. Think about that idea that he will not break off a bruised or battered reed, a smoldering wick, a little flame that's about to go out. That how easy it is just to go and blow it out. No, but he's going to nurture it to bring it back to full flame. Or if we go on, we see in Luke 4 and verse 22, "And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips." Or he himself said in Matthew 11 verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." See, when it really comes down to it, good manners and rudeness are both decisions that we make. We either decide that we are more important, or we make the decision that the other person is more important than us. So I want you to do this for me right now. I want you to think of someone who just really, really annoys you. Teenagers, it may be your younger siblings. Okay? Whoever it is, get that picture in your mind. That person that you are just like, you know, I really, really, really want to be rude to that person. I want to just tell them like it is. Okay? You got that person in your mind? Now listen to what Paul says. "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Now that person that you've got in your head, now apply this verse to that person. Because that's what we're called to do. Doesn't mean that you can't correct someone's behavior. But there is a way in which we can do it that is right and shows them respect. You see, if we go further in this passage, Paul says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." See, that's what we're to do. We are to imitate God. God is not rude. So therefore, we are not to be, but we are to show love. So how'd this past week go for you? Were you rude to some people? Or were you good-mannered towards them? Did you make yourself more important? Or did you make the other person more important than you? You see, it's hard to have a life of good manners. I mean, all of the problems in this world, it's hard to show respect to every person. But here's the thing. We're not called to do it on our own. Jesus says, if you will come to me, I will give you the power. I will give you the strength so that you can be like me and show good manners to each and every person. But we have to come to him. Are you a child of God this morning? Have you confessed your sins and come to him saying, Jesus, it is only in you that I can have forgiveness of my sins? Are you willing to turn to him in baptism so that you can have life everlasting? To confess him as Lord and say, I will serve you and no other. Do you need him this morning? His invitation is open to you. Won't you come as we stand together and sing?